You're listening to the Union of Muscle podcast, where muscle meets information and inspiration. In this episode, you should find out a little bit more about what some are doing in order to maintain mental and physical healthy life.
Hi, this is Rick Rosner. You're listening to the Union of Muscle podcast. Lift strong and prosper.
Any information in this podcast should first be reviewed by the corresponding professional, whether that's medical, financial, or legal, before applying it to your life. The views presented here may or may not be those of the host, guest, Union of Muscle, Black Hat Management, or its affiliates.
Your Fitcoin question of the week. In this episode, Rick Rosner gives a percent of resveratrol that, when taken orally, is destroyed by the liver. What is that percent? Remember, your Fitcoin question is worth one Fitcoin winning. And now you can also visit us on Facebook, and either through the show notes or on our Facebook page, and be able to answer the Fitcoin question through a poll. Right on Facebook.
Do you work in health and fitness or want to? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and check out our affiliate program.
For 10% off, type MUSCLE1 when purchasing at myrubberarm.com and earthskinbodycare.com.
You're listening to the Union of Muscle podcast. I'm here with Rick Rosner. And I saw an article the other day that featured Rick and said that he's taking a certain quantity, a large quantity of vitamins, and somehow this is helping increase his IQ. Now, this is a fitness podcast, so we're not just wanting to talk about the muscle. Of course, we love talking about the muscle, but we also want to see what we can do to be fit all around. We don't want to just be viewed as dumb jocks. So there are things that we might be able to do so that way we're taken a little bit more seriously, not just for our muscles that are at our biceps, but the muscle in our head too, if that is a muscle. Rick, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. I'm Rick Rosner. I'm known for claiming to have, and having some reason to claim, that I have the world's second highest IQ. And let me go into those articles that I don't think taking a bunch of pills will necessarily raise your IQ.
Okay.
But I'm 54 and a half years old.
Okay.
And if you've been living an unhealthy lifestyle for as many years as I've been alive, your brain might start getting clogged up. Okay. So I exercise, and I try to have some discipline about diet, and I take a lot of supplements, hoping to at least maintain brain function.
Okay, yeah.
Because if I can hold on, go ahead.
I was just going to say sometimes articles like to sensationalize the claims that are actually being made by the person interviewed. And we get this a lot in the fitness industry. You might see an article that says such and such supplement's going to make you the thinnest person in the world, or help you lose X amount of weight, or get you buff, or get you excited in the gym. And sometimes the science behind it doesn't match up to the headlines exactly. They've almost blown it out of proportion. So what you're saying then is that all the supplements you're taking are mostly to help you maintain the IQ that you already have, or the intelligence that you're able to gain over your lifetime.
Well, that's what I'm hoping they do.
Okay.
If you look at the other drivers when you're out in traffic,
okay,
maybe about a third of them look like they shouldn't be driving because they're out of it to a certain extent.
Yeah, one of them's me. One of them's me, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be, you know, somebody's texting or, you know, fiddling around with something, or somebody's older or obviously unhealthy and they just kind of look vaguely stunned, or they look like they're on some kind of meds, and, or do you can just tell from their driving that they're, you know, only kind of half alert.
Mm-hmm.
And by taking all this stuff, I'm just trying to stay alert. The one brain drug I know that works is coffee. Because I've been drinking coffee for about 2.5 years. And before that, I would fall asleep every day at 3 p.m. at work.
Okay.
Which is, you know, bosses don't like that.
Probably not. Coffee, and you just started taking coffee 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago, about that. What is it about the coffee that's supposed to work? Is it the caffeine? Is it the whole thing about the coffee? Just, you
know, it doesn't make me smarter. It makes me a little chattier, but it makes me so I just don't get sleepy after lunch.
Okay. So do you think it's just the caffeine then, or is it something else in the coffee?
I assume it's just the caffeine.
Okay. How many pills are you taking in the morning?
Well, I think I take about 38 different kinds of pills.
30, okay.
But since I take multiples of a lot of them, it totals up to about 70 a day.
Wow.
And I can, in the morning, I take maybe 36. I can show you are you getting video? Because I can show you my morning dose.
Yeah, but the podcast normally goes out on iTunes and Stitcher, so it's mostly going to be on audio. But what we can do is include some pictures in the show notes. We can also, if you're able to get a list of the supplements, we can do that. Whatever you want to put out, we can also put in the show notes. So anything that's not quite audible, we can always supplement it into the show notes as well.
Okay.
So yeah, that's quite a bit, and we'll see if we can't get a picture or two in the show notes of that. I think you might have some around. When I looked at the list, what I saw were some things that you could probably find in your vitamin store's shelves fairly easily, but then there were some that almost looked like they were prescription-based.
Well, so I take some stuff that is by prescription. You know, there's a blood pressure thing in there, and there's Avodart. And then there's some stuff that should be prescription, but I get from overseas, like metformin, which is maybe my favorite drug.
Why is that?
Metformin, because I think it probably really works, though. With a lot of this stuff, the only way I'll be able to tell if it works is if I'm still alive 40 years from now.
What do you mean by it works? Like, what is it supposed to be doing, this metformin?
You've probably heard of resveratrol.
Yes, I have, but I don't know if our audience has.
Well, resveratrol is supposed to – well, if you go on calorie restriction, if you cut your calories by 30-40%, it's supposed to activate certain genes in your body, and you kind of go on this starvation status, and certain aging processes are supposed to slow way down. When they starve lower animals, rats and such, they live longer.
Okay.
And they think it may work to some extent with people, but starving yourself is miserable.
Yes.
So there are a couple drugs, resveratrol and metformin, which are known to mimic the starvation thing. They fool your body into thinking that you're being starved and going on this kind of slower metabolism deal without having to starve yourself. The trouble with resveratrol is that when you take it orally, your liver knocks out 99% of it.
Oh, really? I did not know that. That's the first I've heard of that. I've been trying to take resveratrol. That's the hard thing, you're right, about like resveratrol, is that I'm not sure what I'm getting out of it right now. Maybe I'll know once I'm alive a lot longer than what I should have been. But other than that, I'm really not feeling all that difference. I know they said that, like the mice or whatever that they were testing on were able to do cardio for longer periods of time. But it's hard to tell what's...
Yeah, those mice are getting it via injection, so it skips the liver.
Okay.
You know, I'll put it under my tongue, so I hope that some of it's absorbed that way. And people take it mixed with all sorts of different stuff, trying to sneak it past the liver, but mostly most of it gets turned into other stuff.
Okay.
But metformin has a lot of the same effects, and it doesn't get knocked out by the liver. It's a diabetes drug that increases... It makes your body use insulin more efficiently.
Interesting.
It knocks down your blood sugar spikes, and it's very safe. There are 15 million prescriptions written in the United States every year alone. Diabetes kind of makes your body clock kind of tick over faster.
Okay.
You're cooking yourself with the sugar in your system. But really, everybody is doing that to a lesser extent than type 2 diabetics. So if you can knock it down with a little metformin, I think it's a good thing. Studies have shown that it maybe knocks down certain rates of cancer. It just seems like overall a pretty good drug.
Okay. And we always include the disclaimer ahead of time at the beginning of the podcast that any information given, you should review it with your doctor, with your finance person, with your lawyer, whomever your team of people around you are that give you advice. You need to consult them before you get into any of this. We're not making any claims to that, but this is still good information to know so people can go out there and do their their own research and get the right approvals as they need.
Sure.
Along the way.
You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm a lunatic. I've done a lot of stupid stuff. So yeah, you know, don't take my word for any of this stuff.
Are there any other of the 37 supplements 30,
that I really like?
Yeah, that you like.
Well, everybody should be. Most people should be taking like half or an aspirin or a quarter of an aspirin or a baby aspirin every day to keep the blood thin and knock down a little inflammation. You know, an aspirin's super, you know, at the 99 cent store, you can get a bottle of 200 of those, you know, so that's crazy cheap for something that may add years to your life.
Also,
something that's super cheap that may add years is just floss your teeth. Because that knocks down inflammation. Your teeth, if you don't floss, are a source of just inflammation and bacteria that, you know, moves down into your gut and can irritate a lot of other parts of your body.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you before you have surgery that, you know, that you need to make sure your gums aren't bleeding and all that stuff. And it's because, you know, your mouth is a mess.
Yeah, I dated hygienist, a dental hygienist. We went out on a few dates. She was telling me about how they're doing a lot of conferences on how plaque can possibly even be the cause of heart attacks and this and that. And I wasn't sure if it was just them trying to sell that dentistry was still very important. She definitely emphasized the importance of flossing. So yeah, I floss. I floss once a day. I don't know if that's good enough, but that's the way I've been doing it.
Yeah. Well, hygienists are never satisfied with what people do. I think what she's saying is legit, that, you know, you don't want a steady stream of germs moving down your throat into your chest.
Yeah, probably not. I would avoid it if at all possible, you know.
I mean, the deposition of plaque in your arteries is at least partially an inflammatory response, which is probably in part due to the bacteria that you're feeding into yourself if you don't keep your teeth clean enough.
Is that the same plaque, though?
No, but okay. I mean, it's still gunk.
Okay. The article was claiming that this did have some correlation to your IQ. You're saying that it doesn't necessarily boost your IQ, supplements.
If I'm in my mid-50s, and if the average person my age has lost 10 points or 15 points of IQ, and I've only lost 3 because I take all this stuff and because I exercise, then I've got a net advantage of 12 IQ points, even though it's ridiculous to talk about, you know, brain function in terms of IQ like that, because IQ is a real clumsy measure of intelligence.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit more then. What is these IQ tests? What do they actually test, do you think?
Well, it's tough to measure intelligence because it's, you know, it's real nebulous and it's also real situational. And IQ gives a false sense of precision with what is usually a 3-digit score. The guy who first thought up IQ, Binet, this guy in France, wanted to use a 5-point scale to just test kids and determine which kids might need some help one way or the other. You know, if you 3 is average, but if a kid scores a 1, then that kid's dumb is gonna need help that way. Kid scores a 4 or 5, and then that kid's smart and might, you know, need some educational enrichment. Then Terman, a guy in California, takes a look at this deal, and then he develops the whole, you know, 100-point IQ deal. So then you could have people getting scores of 112 and 114 and thinking, oh, that means something, but it's really not that precise.
So you got 2 kids that are taking IQ tests. One's getting a few more points than the other one, and all of a sudden they're stigmatizing one kid as being smart and the other kid as being dumb. And at that point in their life, they might just start reacting to the fact that they are representatively more intelligent or less intelligent than somebody else who just happened to be in the same classroom.
I mean, a lot of stuff, even if IQ testing goes perfectly, there's a lot of variation. That somebody on different days can get scores that vary by 15 or 20 points. And that's, you're supposed to know that, but a lot of people don't know that. And then also stuff can go wrong. One of my best friends in junior high and high school, I thought he might be retarded because I saw his IQ score and it was really low.
What's
he was taking my same math classes and doing really well. And okay. I'm like, how can this be?
Right.
It's like someday he's going to find out he's not smart and then everything's going to fall apart. Turns out that that was a score where he got to the end of the test and he found out there was one blank space too many. He'd skipped a question somewhere.
Oh.
He was in the middle of erasing and redoing everything when they called time. So relying on IQ is not a good idea.
Okay.
It should be an indicator to take a second look at some people and see if they need resources, but to make huge claims about IQ, even though I do that, so I'm a big hypocrite, is not sensible.
So what part of intelligence is it measuring? Is there a certain part of intelligence that it does okay at measuring and other parts that it has nothing to do with that type of intelligence? Because we almost have to define the intelligence that these tests are trying to show.
Well, there's a guy named Paul Koymans he's in the Netherlands who says there are three factors.
Okay.
To IQ, and one is associative width,
okay.
Which is when you see a problem, how much information, how many can you pull in to try to apply to this problem?
Okay.
How many different associations does it set off in your head?
Interesting.
The other one is conscientiousness, how much you care about doing a good job.
Okay.
And the third thing I think is precision. But maybe I might have it wrong.
Is that like accuracy then? Kind of an accuracy type?
Yeah, how much you're really willing to sit there. But that sounds a lot like conscientiousness.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are a bunch of different factors. And with IQ, at least in my case, and in the case of a lot of people, you could be a little bit losery and just be desperate to have something going for you, which at different points in my life has been the case.
Yeah, so we've all been there. We've all been there in one aspect or another in our life. We want to be known for something. We want to be recognized for something. We want our life to have a certain meaning to it. I think it just depends on where your talents may already lie. If you're really good at football, you may decide that you being the best football player and getting on the NFL, that's how you're going to define the success of your life. And there's guys out there who will try out for the team and it turns out that they're actually not as good as everyone else in the world, but they might have been great in their high school. And so I think it just really depends on where you're trying to gain that.
Well,
I had
more clarity in that area in that I'm terrible at all sports. So there was never any question about it.
But you were good at the IQ score tests.
Yeah. And actually, it's been healthy for me to be bad at sports because my knees still work and my shoulders work. And, you know, I can lift weights because it's really hard to hurt yourself on weight machines. It's where, you know, people who are good athletes end up kind of hobbling around by the time they're my age.
That definitely can happen. We had a power lifter who just started powerlifting at the age of 50, and he's now 55, or he started exercising more consistently at that age. I happen to have quite a few friends growing up who did have probably higher IQs than me. They were always scoring better on school tests than I did. But yet I seemed to have a little bit better of an aptitude when it came to social situations. And so we always were good companions that way because they could always help and support me on my scholastic needs and really try to get me to push a little bit harder. How their choices weren't necessarily the best socially acceptable choices. And they could see how maybe some of the choices I was making in my studies weren't always the ones that were going to lead me to better scores on my testing. So, I mean, I almost saw that there is this kind of two different types of intelligence that can help you in life. It's the one that enables you to score well on tests, to learn quickly, to absorb information, to be able to spit it out in a manner that other people can understand. And then there's the ability to navigate socially. And I think that's kind of what really is what separates us, obviously, from a lot of the animals is how complex our social system and mating rituals are. We have to kind of, and that's part of what drives people in fitness, is that, you know, it's a signal of mate selection. And
I started lifting weights because I wanted to get a girlfriend.
There's many of us who started.
That's, you know, Pumping Iron, I think, came out in 76 when I was 16. And people overall were skinnier back then.
Mm-hmm.
And being in good condition, I think there was more emphasis on that. It was before the untucked shirt era with, you know, 2/3 of America being kind of chunky.
Okay.
So I started lifting weights and started wearing tight shirts and hoping that, you know, but everybody in my little town knew that I was just a nerd who'd started lifting weights. Nobody was fooled.
Yes, yes. That's usually how it goes. They usually remember the kid who had the accident when he was a little guy or whatever. And, you know, that's who you're branded as the whole time you live in the town that you grew up in. You know, always going to fall victim to that. But now you say you do a lot more exercising. What's your exercise regimen now?
When I was a teenager, that same time, I read an article about a kid named Naim Suleimanov, who at the time was the world's strongest teenager.
Oh, wow.
And they said that his training regimen was 7 short workouts a day.
Okay.
I thought, hey, I could do something like that because my town was pretty small and I could get to the gym easily. And I just started doing multiple workouts. And I'm kind of mathy and I like the numbers of saying, you know, I went to the gym this many times today. I've kind of been doing it ever since.
Okay.
So every day so far in 2014, I've made it to the gym at least 5 times.
5 times a day.
Where, you know, most people have a gym circuit where they go from, you know, station to station to station. I have a gym circuit where I go from gym to gym to gym to gym because this is LA where there are a zillion gyms and you can just drive a mile or two and you're at the next gym.
So what do you do though then when you're at these gyms? I mean,
not much.
Okay.
I make it easy on myself because everything is a trick to keep yourself going to the gym.
Okay.
You go to the gym and you bust your butt and and it's an ordeal every time. I suspect, or maybe this is just an excuse for my laziness, that you maybe eventually just kind of hate it so much you quit going. But if you make it easy, and I make it easy, I'll go to one gym for 15 or 20 minutes. I'll do the machines I like there. I'm too lazy even to, you know, do barbells because you have to load them and unload them. And I'll read between sets and then I'll just go do the same thing at another gym and then another and another and another.
So
until I've, you know, totaled up 80 to 100 sets in a day.
Okay. And how many hours then is that of working out in a day?
It takes about 2 hours, but you know, a chunk of that is just driving from place to place.
Okay. So within a 2 hour chunk, you're not just working out, you're also driving places.
Yeah. But I mean, lately it's been going 2.5. So I might be getting close to 2 hours
of actual gym time,
actual working out.
You know, you think that's crazy, but,
Well, the nice thing about LA is that there's always somebody who's crazier than you. Somebody who's been on the treadmill for 40 minutes, who's anorexic and who has to be physically lifted off of the machine by the gym staff.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'm in the gym on average every day. Every day I'm at the gym and I have my routine and I'm probably there 1.5 to 2 hours. So, I mean, really, that, for me and probably for some of our gym fanatic listeners like me, that doesn't even sound that crazy. What does sound crazy is that you say 5 times. Now, if you were to say you work out for 2 hours a day, for gym fanatics like me and for some of our listeners, that's normal. You're one of us.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything is designed to kind of fool myself into still being motivated. Because even saying that I went to the gym 5 times, it's really I went to the gym once in 5 different places. But it keeps me motivated. It's dumb, but I got a dumb stuff. And
It works for you, and that's the important thing when it comes to fitness. So if you're someone out there who does have a hard time getting to the gym, this is nice to hear that there are even some of the most intelligent people around have to trick themselves into exercising. And this is the trick that he's using in order to keep himself physically fit and exercising.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Are you lifting with pain? Well, stop it. There's no more excuses, because I use Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Now, many of you know that Rubber Arm Muscle Rub was on the podcast talking about how it is that they got their product to market, and you can listen to that episode. But I want you to go to www.myrubberarm.com. Myrubberarm.com, all one word. And there, when you place your order for a Rubber Arm Muscle Rub, type in MUSCLE1 as your coupon code. This will get you 10% off, and it also helps the podcast out. So, if you're lifting in pain, stop it. You don't need to do it anymore. Go out and get rubbed. Get Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Remember, www.myrubberarm.com and type in MUSCLE1. That's the number one, not the word. Into your coupon code for 10% off and to help out the union. Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. I have a clean little secret. I shave my chest. Yes, I do. It feels quite wonderful. And I shave my underarms too. I shave my arms and maybe some other things you guys don't really care about. But I found a secret to not get those pesky ingrown hairs. They're a pain in the chest and hopefully nowhere else. But I found a secret to reduce the pain of those ingrown hairs. And that is through my sister's very own body scrub. She used to give it away to me for Christmas. And we finally bugged her and bugged her and bugged her into offering it to other people. Because it works great for so many things, especially if you shave. So what you do is go to www.earthskinbodycare.com. That's all one word. Let me do it again because it can get, there's a lot of words in there. earthskinbodycare.com. Now, if you go there and type in the union coupon code MUSCLE1, you get 10% off. And guess what? She gives me a little something on the side too to help keep this podcast going. Guys, girls, if you shave any part of your body and you don't want ingrown hairs, get her scrub at earthskinbodycare.com. It'll help you shave strong and prosper.
Do you work in health and fitness or want to? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and check out our affiliate program.
Do you want to lift strong? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on Fitness Coach tab. There, you will find fitness coaches who are ready to help you lift strong. What's great is that once you have your own fitness coach, either as a consultant or one-on-one, you can also earn more Fit Coins for completing the goals the coaches set for you. Lift strong and prosper. Join the union. Okay, we're back, and we're talking with Rick, and we just talked about some of his workout routines and how even though he's very intelligent, he still has to trick himself into getting in his exercise like he wants to. Rick, why trick yourself so much in exercising? I mean, it's just as easy to let it go, not do anything. What's so important about all this exercising? Why do you care?
I like the math of it. I like having a streak of nearly 24 years where I haven't missed a gym. You know, through earthquakes and everything, I've managed to find a way to work out. I think it's better to keep doing it than not, even though at this point I'm a tiny man. I used to, you know, be in the 170s when I was bouncing bars, but now I'm in my 50s. I haven't worked in a bar in a while, and I figure, why carry around all that extra weight and put a strain on my body? So now I'm in the 140s. So sometimes I wonder exactly what I'm working out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's important, especially the older that you get, to try to maintain that muscle mass. My father, he's in his 50s, and he had an accident where he just slipped on a step and it twisted his leg up and ended up jamming his thumb out of place. And I've been bugging him to get to the gym more often. You know, it's the idea that if you have that muscle there, if it's ready to get engaged at any time, then it will. But if you haven't been exercising out, working out that muscle, it can get lazy on you. And it's going to be a lot harder to recover, to keep yourself in balance if you happen to slip and fall. And
right. Yeah. You need the muscle for equilibrium.
Yeah. So, you know, even if you're not looking to bulk up, even if you're not trying to put on all that muscle and all that weight, I mean, that's, you know, I'm all about looking good, having that muscle. That's where I'm at. Even if that's where you're at in life, is that you're trying to maintain enough muscle to keep you going, it's important. And no matter what you got to do, go ahead.
Yeah, I like looking fairly ripped, but I've been married for more than 23 years, and my wife doesn't care that much. Though yesterday she was saying that I need to put on weight. She was saying that I have no butt. And
you doing any squats?
Nah, because I know when I used to squat, my knees would hurt.
Oh, okay.
And I know that it wasn't like real dangerous pain. It wasn't it was just, you know, pain that somebody really determined would work through. It didn't mean that my knees were going to fall apart, but it's just one of those things that, you know, I'm too lazy to do at this point, where I'll do the sit down kind of squat equivalent machines where you just sit, you know, but the real squats that are, you know, that actually do something for you, I haven't done those in a long time.
Well, there's tons of alternatives to squatting. There's people who have thrown out their knees, throw out their backs, and there's always different alternatives out there that you can find for that. There's one that's really doesn't hurt the knees too much. I don't know if you've seen those machines in the gym for pull-ups.
Machines?
Oh, for pull-ups. Have you seen the pull-up machines?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah.
They have the assisted pull-up.
Yeah, you put your knees on them and the pads move up along with you.
Yeah, so you can kind of do the same thing, but you use those pads for something to push down.
Yeah.
And so you can put one foot on the padded part of it, and your other foot's still on the ground, and you can push that down, and that really helps to then engage the hamstring, engage the glute. And it's a way that you're doing it where you're not having to put all your body weight onto your knee. And now sometimes people do get...
It seems like that's a good idea. I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, because, you know, different people, of course, have hurt their knees even doing deadlifts or squats. Sometimes because they're not keeping their feet parallel. Sometimes if you're angling your feet in too much, the way the weight's going along the angular part of the knee, you're actually putting pressure on that kneecap and on the joint, instead of trying to put everything in line so that way your heels are then really, you're able to push through those a little bit more and not pushing against, having the joint push against itself. That's more information, not just for you, Rick, but of course for our listeners out there. So if some of you are also trying to skip out on the squats because of knees or backs, there's other things out there that you can do.
Well, it's important to have a butt now with, you know, Nicki Minaj and Iggy Azalea. You know, it's we're living in a butt-intensive era.
Yes. Yeah, yes. We've been getting a lot of the backside. And all of us have one, for the most part. We have one. It's just whether or not it looks nice. And some of these exercises that do work your legs often are going to work the glutes as well. If you're into basketball, having that glute strength is going to help you give you better ups. And your basketball, it's not just those calves. It's going to be the glutes as well. It's going to help you get that higher vertical when you're in the gym. What are some of your favorite exercises then that you're doing?
It's I mostly have favorite machines at various gyms, where I like doing certain ab machines, and so where I can sit down and I can do a dozen lazy sets of a few reps of abs, which is not the way to do abs. You should be doing like 50 reps probably with lower weight, but everything I do is lazy and bad. But, you know, I don't care, because I figure if I keep doing it, I'll get at least some effect.
That's
like
true.
That. I like a good curl machine.
Okay.
That's any machine where your elbows aren't directly resting on the machine, where they kind of dangle below the pad, I think is a good machine. So there are certain of those that I like.
Okay.
And I like the sit-down quad thrust machines.
Okay. So you are getting some leg motion in there, which is important.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll do a... I mean, it's sad. I used to have a decent bench press back before I was as lazy as I am, but now it's all my stuff is, you know, with just, you know, bench press machines.
Okay.
But my free weight strength is on bench is terrible now. Cause, you know, you need you really need the bench to have bench strength, because you need to be able to control the bar through the entire motion instead of having a machine control the motion for you.
Yeah, there's what a lot of people in the gym might refer to the stabilizing muscles. So these are the muscles that keep everything in place. Your forearms, you know, are a good stabilizer, give you that wrist strength. And a lot of times with those machines, they're taking away all the effort that those stabilizing muscles would have to do. So yeah, you know, some people, they like these vibration machines now that you stand on this. It's kind of a lazy way to work out those support muscles, is these little plates that you stand on that vibrate. Yeah. And then you're just standing there, and because it's vibrating and because you're standing up, your body has to kind of compensate a little bit to keep yourself from wobbling off. And so the idea is that you're helping to support these supportive muscles. I don't know how well that works or not.
That seems like it would be for somebody in his or her 70s or 80s just trying to build more equilibrium. I don't know if you could.
Yeah. You know, it's like there's lots of claims out there.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of gadgets where they take somebody who's a competitive bodybuilder, and then they strap them into some ridiculous junk and as if that's what gave them that body.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also like when they take a bodybuilder and they just have them put on 40 pounds and that becomes the before for the diet drug.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully most of our listeners have enough sense to go out there and figure out that most of those before and after shots aren't really what you're getting and aren't really what's happened. So it's hopefully that's been dispelled in the media. I've seen tons of stuff that dispels you, that shows you how it's done, the before and after. And most of the time, yes, the after shot or the before shot is done after they've had a chance to either put on some weight or drink a soda pop to extend their gut out a little bit more. You're taking the vitamins, you're working out and exercising, and all this is in efforts to stave off the effects of aging.
Mostly, there are people who believe in something called the singularity.
Okay, we had a transhumanist on.
You had who? I'm sorry.
We had a transhumanist on a couple weeks ago.
Okay, all right. So, for people who don't know, the singularity is, for people who believe in it, the point at which artificial intelligence in around the year 2040 will become so powerful that all questions can be. Anything that you can ask can be answered by artificial intelligence, and all human wishes will more or less immediately come true, thanks to, you know, robots.
Right.
And there are people like Ray Kurzweil who want to stay alive till 2040 because they figure if they can stay alive till then they can stay alive forever.
Right.
Because everything will have been figured out. I believe in that stuff as strongly as they do. But I do figure if I can live long enough, I'll get a lot of bonus years from biomedical breakthroughs that are yet to come.
Okay.
And really, you don't need people to be living forever in the year 2040. All you need to do is for medical science to be able to extend your life by a year for every extra year that you live. If enough new stuff comes along, you know, every year, you can kind of keep, like, you know, skating along for a while, even if, you know, immortality isn't possible at any given point.
Okay.
So I want to do all this stuff because there's going to be a lot of cool. All the cool stuff is in the future, and I want to be around for a bunch of it.
I can agree that there's going to be some cool stuff in the future. However, there's that kind of that paradox that you never get to the future. The future is always coming up, and we're only really kind of living in the present right now. So the present we're in was the future of yesterday, so to speak. So there are some pretty cool stuff worth living for right now, even.
The present is pretty cool. I look at it in terms of how much into sex people aren't. Growing up in the 70s, sex was all people had. Food was kind of terrible. TV was way terrible. Movies were only occasionally okay. You know, decor was ugly. There weren't really any video games. And so, yeah, people were all skinny and, you know, either from jogging or from cocaine, but like they were in shape probably more on average than they are now. So sex was kind of a big deal. I kind of think that sex is less of a deal now.
In society, you mean?
Because there's a bunch of other stuff. There's entertainment is better. Food is better, so everybody's chunkier. The internet is full of, you know, stuff you can use for self-stimulation.
Sure.
So, you know, and your average American is, you know, chunky, so people aren't even thinking about the people they're having sex with while they're having sex with those people often. So it's kind of a measure of the relative awesomeness of today versus the 70s that sex isn't the only thing to do.
Interesting. I haven't thought about the relationship of the quality of life to have little sex people are having.
Of course, you're talking to somebody who's been married for more than 20 years, so you know that may have bearing.
Okay, well, you know, I appreciate you, Rick, taking the time to come on. Before we go, is there any way, if people want to get in touch with you or want to find out more about what you're doing and what you're up to these days, how can they do that? And we'll include it in the show notes as well.
Okay. They can tweet at me at dumbassgenius, all one word, D-U-M-B-A-S-S, genius. They can find me on Twitter there. And I've been too lazy to set up my own, you know, website, so that's pretty much it. They can follow me under Rick G. Rosner on Facebook, I guess, though I barely go to Facebook, so I don't know what that does. You can find me on LinkedIn, and people can just, you know, use my name and email me, Rick okay. Rosner at, it's, you know, a popular email service.
Okay. All right. Well, anything you want to share before we go?
Well, thank you, Paul, for having me on. It's been fun talking with you. Thumbs up to everybody who's trying to, you know, be strong and be healthy.
Definitely.
Improve themselves.
I think that's really what it comes down to, and that's really what we're trying to do here in this podcast, folks, is not just give you the information you need in order to start working out, but also give you the inspiration you need. And I think, Rick, for some of our listeners, I think you are going to be a great inspiration for them, because we do have a lot of people. This is a podcast, and you have to have a little bit of tech savviness to listen to podcasts as they stand right now. And some of them may not like working out. But I think you give them hope that even as intelligent as they might be or might feel they are, there's still a reason to work out. There's still a way to work out. And even if you have to trick yourself into doing it.
Oh, wait, I've got a couple tricks. If you don't like working out.
Okay.
Fiber gummies.
Okay.
If you're a computer person who's, you know, you're sitting on your butt in front of a computer all day and you're steadily kind of, you know, putting on weight, if you eat these, fiber in general is good, but a lot of it's disgusting. You have to stop. But fiber gummies are like gumdrops that are filled with fiber. They're not messy. You just eat them like candy. So, you know, you start slow with them. But they're probably good for taking 5 pounds off of you with doing nothing else, just by moving fast. And then if you want to go a little bit more hardcore, but still it's the same principle as carb blockers. You can, there are these white bean based pills that knock out a certain amount of a digestive enzyme, so you only absorb 3/4 of the carbohydrates you normally absorb. So again, that's worth a few pounds off of you.
Right.
Or a few pounds less discipline. You can eat a little bit more of what you want and or cheat a little bit more, and the carb blockers will cover for you along with the fiber gummies. And with no extra discipline.
Those are good tips, especially even there are people who have a lot of discipline but are still wanting to get off a few more extra pounds. And if they're not using that, that might be something that that could help them.
And if you really want to punish yourself, you use a fat blocker, which is just misery. Carb blockers are easy on you. Fat blockers, you pay for it 24 hours later. Just they rip you. It's gross.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I think some of our competitors might know what that's like, because they'll do just about anything right before that stage time.
Sure. I don't think you'd want to even do a fat blocker before stage time because you might have a mishap on stage.
Right. All right, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Union of Muscle podcast. Remember to lift strong and prosper.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Thank you for tuning in to this episode and for all the great feedback I'm getting, the likes, the subscribes, and the sharing that you're doing on social media. It's just fantastic, and I appreciate it. I want to let you know that I have reduced the price of our subscription membership on the Union of Muscle. It's about the same price as Netflix a month, but you gain access to more ways of getting fit and more points, more rewards. So when you get your Netflix, they don't give you anything back, but that service. So we're giving you more ways that you can not only be healthy and stay fit, but we'll reward you for doing so. So go online to unionofmuscle.com and check that out. And I'm running some specials for you guys for the till the end of the year. So live strong and prosper.
Please like, subscribe, share, and comment.
Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. Are you lifting with pain? Well, stop it. There's no more excuses because I use Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Now, many of you know that Rubber Arm Muscle Rub was on the podcast talking about how it is that they got their product to market, and you can listen to that episode. But I want you to go to www.myrubberarm.com. Myrubberarm.com, all one word. And there, when you place your order for a Rubber Arm Muscle Rub, type in MUSCLE1 as your coupon code. This will get you 10% off, and it also helps the podcast out. So, if you're lifting in pain, stop it. You don't need to do it anymore. Go out and get rubbed. Get Rubber Arm Muscle Rub. Remember, www.myrubberarm.com and type in MUSCLE1. That's the number one, not the word. Into your coupon code for 10% off and to help out the union. Listen up, all you fitness freaks, geeks, and athletes. I have a clean little secret. I shave my chest. Yes, I do. It feels quite wonderful. And I shave my underarms, too. I shave my arms and maybe some other things you guys don't really care about. But I found a secret to not get those pesky ingrown hairs. They're a pain in the chest and hopefully nowhere else. But I found a secret to reduce the pain of those ingrown hairs. And that is through my sister's very own body scrub. She used to give it away to me for Christmas, and we finally bugged her and bugged her and bugged her into offering it to other people because it works great for so many things, especially if you shave. So what you do is go to www.earthskinbodycare.com. That's all one word. Let me do it again because it can get, there's a lot of words in there. earthskinbodycare.com. Now, if you go there and type in the union coupon code MUSCLE1, you get 10% off. And guess what? She gives me a little something on the side, too, to help keep this podcast going. Guys, girls, if you shave any part of your body and you don't want ingrown hairs, get her scrub at earthskinbodycare.com. It'll help you shave strong and prosper.
Do you work in health and fitness or want to? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and check out our affiliate program.
Do you want to lift strong? Go to www.unionofmuscle.com and click on Fitness Coach tab. There, you will find fitness coaches who are ready to help you who lift strong. What's great is that once you have your own fitness coach, either as a consultant or one-on-one, you can also earn more Fit Coins for completing the goals the coach has set for you. Lift strong and prosper. Join the union. For 10% off, type MUSCLE1 when purchasing at myrubberarm.com and earthskinbodycare.com.
Do you have a great idea for a podcast or think you can do a fitness podcast better? Go to www.fullservicepodcasts.com. That's podcasts with an S. Get as much or as little help as you need creating and hosting podcasts on iTunes and on the internet. That's fullservicepodcastswithans.com. You've been listening to the Union of Muscle Podcast. All rights are reserved by the content's creators.